हरिः ॐ सहनभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति
शान्ति
शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Feelings of Separation from Krishna. Verses 17-83, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Transcendental Vision. One day while he was resting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dreamed he saw Krishna performing his rasa dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Krishna standing with his beautiful body curved in three places, holding his flute to his lips, wearing yellow garments and garlands of forest flowers. He was enchanting even to Cupid. The gopis were dancing in a circle, and in the middle of that circle, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, danced with Radharani. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with the transcendental mellow of the rasa dance, and he thought, "Now I am with Krishna in Vrindavan." When Govinda saw that the Lord had not yet arisen, he awakened him, understand that he had only been dreaming. The Lord was somewhat unhappy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his customary daily duties, and at the usual time he went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. As he viewed Lord Jagannath from behind the Garuda column, hundreds and thousands of people in front of him were seeing the deity. Suddenly, a woman from Orissa, unable to see Lord Jagannath because of the crowd, climbed the column of Garuda, placing her foot on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulder. When he saw this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, Govinda, hastily got her down from her position. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, chastised him for this, Srila Prabhupada. Because Garuda is the carrier of Lord Vishnu, he is the supreme Vaishnava. Therefore, to touch his body with one's feet or to climb the column of Garuda is certainly a Vaishnava aparada, an offense to a Vaishnava. The woman was also offensive to Krishna by putting her foot on the shoulder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing all these offenses, Govinda very hastily made her get down. 3.14.26 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Govinda, "O Adivasya, O uncivilized man, do not forbid this woman to climb the Garuda Stampa. Let her see Lord Jagannath to her satisfaction." Srila Prabhupada, for another explanation of the word Adivasya, refer to Antya Lila, chapter 10, verse 116. Udriti, from the purport to Antya 10, 116. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the word Adivasya, refers to one who has been living with another for a very long time. Govinda was addressed as Adivasya because he had been living with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a very long time, whereas other devotees, who were mostly new, would come and go. 3.14.27-28 When the woman came to her senses, however, she quickly climbed back down to the ground, and seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately begged at his lotus feet for forgiveness. Seeing the woman's eagerness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Lord Jagannath has not bestowed so much eagerness upon me." Srila Prabhupada, the woman was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that she forgot she was offending the feet of a Vaishnava by climbing the column of Garuda. She also neglected to consider that by putting her foot on the shoulder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are both grievous offenses that displease the Supreme Lord and Vaishnavas. She was so eager to see Lord Jagannath, however, that she committed all these offenses obliviously. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised her eagerness. He regretted that Lord Jagannath had not bestowed such great eagerness upon him. 3:14, 29, 37. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "She has fully absorbed her body, mind, and life in Lord Jagannath. Therefore, she was unaware that she was putting her foot on my shoulder. Alas, how fortunate this woman is. I pray at her feet that she favor me with her great eagerness to see Jagannath, Lord Jagannath." Just previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been seeing Lord Jagannath as Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, in person. Becoming fully absorbed in that vision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had assumed the mood of the gopis, so much so that everywhere he looked, he saw Krishna standing with his flute to his lips. After seeing the woman, the Lord's external consciousness returned, and he saw the original deity forms of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Lord Balarama. When he saw the deities, Lord Chaitanya thought he was seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. He wondered, how have they come to Kurukshetra? Where is Vrindavan? Lord Chaitanya grew very much agitated, like a person who has just lost a recently acquired jewel. Then he became very morose and returned home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the ground and began to mark it with his fingernails. He was blinded by tears which flowed from his eyes like the Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I found Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, but I have lost him again. Who has taken my Krishna? Where have I come?" Srila Prabhupada. These are the feelings of Srimati Radharani. First, Lord Chaitanya felt that he had been taken to Vrindavan, where he saw Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis. Then he was brought to Kurukshetra to see Lord Jagannath, his sister Subhadra, and Lord Balarama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost Vrindavan and Krishna, the master of Vrindavan. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced Divyon Mada, transcendental madness and separation from Krishna. At Kurukshetra, Krishna displays his opulence, whereas in Vrindavan, he is in his original position. Krishna never goes even a step away from Vrindavan. Therefore, Kurukshetra is less important for the gopis than Vrindavan. Although devotees who worship Krishna in opulence, his Vaikuntha aspect, they prefer to see Lord Krishna at Kurukshetra along with Subhadra and Balarama, the gopis want to see Krishna in Vrindavan, performing the rasa dance of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by practical example how one can cultivate the mood of Radharani and the other gopis in separation from Krishna. Devotees absorbed in this mood do not like to see Krishna anywhere else but Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented, "I found Krishna in Vrindavan, and now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra." Unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, however, has tried to explain this Divyonmada as far as possible, and it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. Therefore, the author has made the following request in verse 11. Tate vishvasa kari shuna bhavera varana haibe bhavera jnana paiba premadhana. My dear readers, simply try to hear this description with faith and love. They will help you understand transcendental ecstasy, and at last you will achieve love of Godhead very easily. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dreamed of the rasa dance, he was fully absorbed in transcendental bliss, but when his dream broke, he thought he had lost the precious jewel. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant and dance, always absorbed in the bliss of transcendental madness. He carried out the necessities of the body, such as eating and bathing, merely out of habit. At night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reveal to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai the ecstatic feelings of his mind. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "At first my mind somehow achieved the treasure of Krishna, but it again lost him. Therefore it gave up my body and home because of lamentation and accepted the religious principles of a Kapalika yogi. Then my mind went to Vrindavan with his disciples, my senses." Srila Prabhupada, this verse is clearly metaphorical. Vriti. Kapalika yogis are one of the many types of false sannyasis which were introduced by Lord Indra when he adopted the garb of various sannyasis in order to hide from Vijitsava after repeatedly stealing the horse meant for King Prithu's sacrifice. The Kapalika yogis carry a skull and trident and are not interested in spiritual life. 3:14, 42-51. Having lost his acquired gem, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with lamentation by remembering its attributes. Then, grasping the necks of Ramananda Rai and Sudamadar, he cried, "Alas, where is my Lord Hari? Where is Hari?" Finally, he became restless and lost all patience. "My dear friends," he said, "please hear of Krishna's sweetness. Because of a great desire for that sweetness, my mind has given up all social and Vedic religious principles and taken the profession of begging, exactly like a mystic yogi. The ring of Krishna's Rasa Leela, manufactured by Sukadev Goswami, the most auspicious craftsman, is as pure as an earring made from a conch shell. The yogi of my mind is wearing that earring upon his ear. From the gourd he has carved out the bowl of my aspirations, and he has taken the bag of my expectations on his shoulder. The yogi of my mind wears the torn quilt of anxiety on his dirty body, which is covered with dust and ashes. His only words are, 'Alas, Krishna.' He wears 12 bangles of distress on his wrist and a turban of greed on his head. Because he has not eaten anything, he is very thin. The great yogi of my mind always studies the poetry and discussions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, great saintly yogis like Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami have described Lord Krishna as the Supersoul beyond all material contamination. The mystic yogi of my mind has assumed the name Mahabhaula and made disciples of my 10 senses. Footnote 2. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares his mind to one of the mystic yogis known as Bhauls who make at least 10 disciples. Thus my mind has gone to Vrindavan, leaving aside the home of my body and the great treasure of material enjoyment. In Vrindavan he goes from door to door begging alms with all his disciples. He begs from both the moving and the inert inhabitants, the citizens, the creepers, and the trees. In this way he lives on fruits, roots, and leaves. The gopis of Brajabhumi always taste the nectar of Krishna's attributes. His beauty, his sweetness, his aroma, the sound of his flute, and the touch of his body. My mind's 5 disciples, the senses of perception, gather the remnants of that nectar from the gopis and bring them to the yogi of my mind. The senses maintain their lives by eating those remnants. There is a solitary garden where Krishna enjoys his pastimes. And in one corner of a pavilion in that garden, the yogi of my mind, along with his disciples, practices mystic yoga. Wanting to see Krishna directly, this yogi remains awake throughout the night, meditating on Krishna, who is the Supersoul, uncontaminated by the 3 modes of nature. When my mind lost the association of Krishna and could no longer see him, he became depressed and took up mystic yoga. In the void of separation from Krishna, he experienced 10 transcendental transformations. Agitated by these transformations, my mind fled, leaving my body, his place of residence, empty. Thus I am completely in trance. Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the outward activities of the Kapalika mendicants have been described, but not their actual life. The Kapalika mendicants are tantric materialists who carry skulls in their hands. They are not Vaishnavas and have nothing to do with spiritual life. Therefore, they are untouchable. Only an outward comparison has been made between the mind and their activities. But their behavior should never be imitated. 3.14. So you have to know how far something is being described. You know, what to take of something like that. 3.14.52-53. When the gopis felt separation from Krishna, they experienced 10 kinds of bodily transformations. These same symptoms appeared in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The ten bodily transformations resulting from separation from Krishna are anxiety, wakefulness, mental agitation, thinness, uncleanliness, talking like a madman, disease, madness, illusion, and death. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is part of a description of Srimati Radharani's different traits from Ujjwala Nilamani, Vipralambra Pakarana 153, by Srila Rupa Goswami. In this book, he elaborately explains the 10 symptoms as follows. Chinta, anxiety, as stated in the Hamsatutta. At Akura's request, Krishna and Balarama left the house of Nanda Maharaj Maharaja for Mathura. Mm-hmm. At that time, the mind of Srimati Radharani was disrupted, and she became almost mad because of extreme separation from Krishna. She experienced great mental pain and agitation, which caused her to drown in mental speculation in the river of anxiety. She thought, now I am going to die, and when I die, Krishna will surely come back to see me again. But when he hears of my death from the people of Vrindavan, he will certainly be very unhappy. Therefore, I shall not die. This is the explanation of the word chinta. Jagran. Wakefulness, as stated in Padyavali 3:26. Thinking herself very unfortunate, Srimati Radharani addressed her very dear friend, Vishakha. My dear friend, if I could see Krishna in my dreams, I would certainly be glorified for my great fortune. But what can I do? Sleep also plays mischievously with me. Indeed, it has become my enemy. Therefore, I have not slept since the departure of Krishna. Udvega. Mental agitation. The word is explained in the Hamsadutta 104 as follows. Srimati Radharani addressed Lalita. My dear beautiful faced Lalita, I cannot express how my heart is burning. It is a great, unfathomable ocean of anxiety. Still, I wish to offer my obeisances at your lotus feet. What shall I do? Please consider my condition and advise me how I can become peaceful. That is my desire. Tanava, thinness, as is described as follows. When Uddhava returned to Mathura after visiting Vrindavan, Lord Krishna inquired from him about Radharani and Vishakha. Uddhava replied as follows. Consider the condition of the gopis. Srimati Radharani especially is in a very painful condition because of separation from you. She has grown thin, skinny, and her bodily luster is almost gone. Her heart is immersed in pain, and because she has given up eating, her breasts have become black, as if diseased. Because of separation from you, all the gopis, especially Radharani, appear like dried up water holes under the scorching heat of the sun. Malina Angangata, uncleanliness, is described as follows. Uddhava said to Krishna, O most auspicious Krishna, please hear me. The tribulation caused by your absence has made Vishakha languid. Her lips tremble like trees in a strong wind. Her beautiful face is like a lotus flower that has withered under the snow, and her eyes are like lotus petals scorched by the heat of the autumn sun. Did I say eyes the first time or beautiful face?
Beautiful face.
I did, okay. Pralapa, mad talking, is explained in Lalita Madhava as follows. This is Srimati Radharani's lamentation for her beloved Krishna, who was away from home. A woman whose husband has left home and gone to a foreign land is called Proshita Bhartrika. Lamenting for Krishna in the same way that such a woman laments for her husband, Srimati Radharani said, My dear friend, where is the glory of the family of Maharaj Nanda, who wears a half-moon ornament on his head? Where is Krishna, whose hue is like that of an Indranila jewel, and who plays so nicely on his flute? Where is your friend, the best of all men, so expert in dancing in the circle of the Rasa dance? Where is he who is the real medicine to save me from dying of heart disease? I must condemn Providence, for he has caused me so many tribulations by separating me from Krishna. Vyadhi, disease, it is also described in Lalita Madhava. Being greatly afflicted by the pain of separation from Krishna, Srimati Radharani said, My dear Lalita, kindly hear me. I cannot bear suffering the fever of separation from Krishna, nor can I explain it to you. It is something like gold melting in an earthen box. This fever produces more distress than poison, and is more piercing than a thunderbolt. I suffer exactly like someone almost dead from cholera. To be giving me so much pain, this fever must be very strong indeed. Unmada, madness, is explained as follows. Uddhava said to Krishna, My dear Krishna, all the gopis are so afflicted by your absence that they have become almost mad. Home Murari, at home Srimati Radharani laughs unnecessarily and, like a madwoman, inquires about you from every entity without distinction, even from the stones. She rolls on the ground, unable to bear the agony of your absence. Moha, illusion, is explained as follows. Lalita wrote Krishna the following letter on Srimati Radharani's behalf. My dear Krishna, Srimati Radharani has fallen unconscious on the ground, her mind greatly agitated by her separation from you. O enemy of Kamsa, you have now become a first-class politician, and therefore you can supposedly give relief to everyone. Therefore, please consider the plight of Srimati Radharani, or very soon you will hear of her death. Maybe at that time you will lament, although now you are jubilant. Mrityu, death, is explained in the Hamsadutta 96. In the following letter, Lalita chastised Krishna for staying in Mathura. Simply by dancing in the circle of the Rasa dance, you attracted Srimati Radharani's love. Why are you now so indifferent to my dear friend Radharani? She is lying nearly unconscious, thinking of your pastimes. I shall determine whether she is alive by putting a cotton swab under her nostrils. If she is still living, I shall chastise her. 314, 54-83. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed, night and day, by these 10 ecstatic conditions. Whenever such symptoms arose, his mind became unsteady. After speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell silent. Then Ramananda Rai began to recite various verses. Ramananda Rai recited verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srup Damodar Goswami sang of Krishna's pastimes. In this way, they brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to external consciousness. After half the night had passed in this way, Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar Goswami made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lie down on his bed in the inner room. Then Ramananda Rai returned home, and Srup Damodar Goswami and Govinda lay down in front of the door, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained awake throughout the entire night, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra very loudly. At some time, Srup Damodar could no longer hear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting. When he entered the room, he found the three doors locked, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gone. All the devotees were very anxious when they saw that the Lord was not in his room. They wandered about searching for him with a warning lamp. After searching for some time, they came upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, lying in a corner by the northern side of the Simhadwara gate. At first they were overjoyed to see him, but when they saw his condition, all the devotees headed by Srup Damodar Goswami were very anxious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying unconscious, and his body had become elongated to 5 or 6 cubits. So, 6 cubits would be 9 feet. 1 foot is 30 centimeters.
Oh,
okay. Still, that's it's not bad. Yes.
So those 10 symptoms we described, those 10 symptoms are experienced by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of separation, which is what Rani's feelings of separation.
Mm-hmm.
But those 10 symptoms are different. I mean, that's my question. Those 10 symptoms are different than the symptoms that Radharani feels when Krishna is in Braj, but she doesn't see him. This seems to be extreme symptoms. In Braj, she is hoping to meet him, you know, either at night or what I call it, midday. So there are symptoms of separation, but they're not as acute as these ones.
Well, these will be here, especially the examples, but these 10 symptoms are standard symptoms. You know. So it hasn't mentioned, because we're talking about this aspect of separation where gone away, because that was the point, is he had met Krishna in Vrindavan and then lost that vision and then was seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra.
Right.
So then it would bring up those kind of moods of separation.
Right.
But so that's the point. It's more engaging there. You know, that's why, I mean, one of the aspects that I think is explained why Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, I mean, his mother has suggested and this and that, but one of the aspects just the behind is because Mayapur is Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
While in Kurukshetra, then it is not Vrindavan. It's Brajvasis are there with Krishna, but because the environment, the opulence, then you can't really interact. So it's said that if the person's not there and you're feeling separation, then, you know, you feel bad, but it's there is that understanding that they're not there. Right? But when you're with the person, but you can't interact, that separation's worse.
Right.
So that's Kurukshetra. You know, so even the ones there, even he's in Mathura and they're feeling a separation, still there's that aspect of difference. So the intensity is even greater in Kurukshetra. Right. So then that is being experienced by Lord Chaitanya.
Okay, I understand that. And I have one more thing to ask, if I may. Srila Prabhupada in his book once, or even in the translations of verses, as well as the Acharyas, use the word Cupid. And we know that Cupid is a Greek god. So why Cupid, why not Kamadev?
Well, when you translate it into English, there is no Kamadev, so it's Cupid. that's how they would translate. Because in the Sanskrit, they'll use Kamadev or, you know, or Madana or okay. These kind of things like that. It's just when you translate it, then, because Madana is a personality that goes around with his bow and shoots people, you know, like that. So somehow or another, you know, of all the things, you know, then that one stayed fairly okay. You know, it didn't get as distorted as much as others. You know, it's like Thor, he has to make his own thunderbolts. You know, he's a blacksmith. I mean, come on. You know, so... So it's just because you're dealing with a culture that's separated itself from the Vedic culture for a long time.
Right.
So then, you know, these main stories will stay. So you see up to anything pre-Christian era,
yes.
Then most of their concepts of theology and are more closer to the Vedic than anything else. Right. You know, they may have various degrees of distortion and all that, but they're fairly similar. But then once the Christian age comes, then all that's lost, and then, you know, so you don't have that continuity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So yeah, Cupid would be the natural translation. You know, same guy, same bow and arrow, just, this is the flower arrows, you know, while Cupid is generally very pointy arrows. Seeing the Lord's condition, all the devotees were very unhappy. They almost died. Well, it also says five or six. So five would be seven and a half. So, you know, anywhere from like this much to this much, you know, like that. They almost died when they saw Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his mouth full of saliva and foam and his eyes turned upward. When they saw this, Rupa Damodar Goswami and all the devotees began to chant the holy name of Krishna very loudly into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ear. After they had chanted in this way for a long time, the holy name of Krishna entered the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he suddenly arose with a loud shout of Hari Bol. As soon as the Lord returned to external consciousness, all his joints contracted and his entire body returned to normal. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami described these pastimes elaborately in his book, Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha. Okay, that's your book. You wanted to know what were the notes, so that's the book. Now here it says, I think it's quoting from here. In the house of Kashi Mishra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes be greatly aggrieved, feeling separation from Krishna. The joints of his transcendental body would slacken, and his arms and legs would become elongated. Rolling on the ground, the Lord would cry out in distress in a faltering voice, and weep very sorrowfully. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, awakening my heart, maddens me. Panot 3. This is a verse from Gauranga Stava, Kalpa Vriksha 4. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much astonished to find himself in front of the Simhadwara gate. He asked Srup Damodar Goswami, "Where am I? What am I doing here?" Srup Damodar said, "My dear Lord, please get up. Let's go to your place. There I shall tell you everything that has happened." Thus all the devotees supporting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him back to his residence. Then they all described to him what had happened. Hearing description of his condition while he had lain near the Simhadwara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much astonished. He said, "I do not remember any of these things. All I can remember is that I saw my Krishna, but only for an instant. He appeared before me and then, like lightning, immediately disappeared." Just then, everyone heard the blowing of the conch shell at the Jagannath temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately took his bath and went to see Lord Jagannath. Thus I have described the uncommon transformations of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When people hear about this, they are very much astonished. No one has witnessed such bodily changes elsewhere, nor has anyone read of them in the revealed scriptures. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme sannyasi, exhibited these ecstatic symptoms. These ecstasies are not described in the Shastra, and they are inconceivable to common men. Therefore, people in general do not believe in them. Raghunath Das Goswami lived continuously with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am simply recording whatever I have heard from him. Although common men do not believe in these pastimes, I believe in them totally. Verses 84 to 123, the Chataka Parvata incident. 314, 84 to 99. One day, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to the sea to bathe, he suddenly saw a sandune named Chataka Parvata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the sandune for Govardhan Hill and ran toward it. Lord Chaitanya said, "Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balarama, as well as their calves and cows, and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord." Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balarama, Govardhan Hill appears very, very jubilant. Footnote 4. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.18. It was spoken by the gopis when Lord Krishna and Balarama entered the forest in the autumn. Gopis spoke among themselves and glorified Krishna and Balarama for their pastimes. Reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran towards the sand dune as fast as the wind. Govinda ran after him, but he could not approach him. First one devotee shouted loudly, and then a tumultuous uproar arose as all the devotees stood up and began to run after the Lord. Srup Damodar Goswami, Jagarananda Pandit, Garadhar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, and Shankara Pandit are some of the devotees who ran after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati also went towards the beach, and Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, followed them very slowly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running with the speed of wind, but he suddenly became stunned in ecstasy and lost all strength to proceed further. The flesh at each of his pores erupted like pimples, and his bodily hair, standing on end, appeared like kadamba flowers. Blood and perspiration flowed incessantly from every pore of his body, and he could not speak a word, but simply produced a gargling sound within his throat. The Lord's eyes filled and overflowed with unlimited tears, like the Ganges and Jamuna meeting in the sea. His entire body faded to the color of a white conch shell, and then he began to quiver like the waves in the ocean. While quivering in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down on the ground. Then Govinda approached him. Govinda sprinkled water from a karanga, water pot, all over the Lord's body, and then, taking his own outer garment, he began to fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sarup Damodar and the other devotees reached the spot and saw the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they began to cry. All eight kinds of transcendental transformations were visible in the Lord's body. All the devotees were struck with wonder to see such a sight. Srila Prabhupada. The eight ecstatic symptoms are the state of being stunned, stumbha, perspiration, sveta, standing of the bodily hairs on end, romancha, faltering of the voice, svara veda, trembling, vepatu, or kampa, fading of the body's color, vaivarnya, tears, ashru, and devastation, pralaya, or murcha. 314, 100-123. The devotees loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and washed his body with cold water. After the devotees had been chanting for a long time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly stood up and shouted Hari Bol. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, all the Vaishnavas loudly chanted Hari Hari in great jubilation. This auspicious sound filled the air in all directions. Astonished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and began looking here and there, trying to see something, but he could not catch sight of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Vaishnavas, he returned to partial external consciousness and spoke to Sri Damodar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who has brought me here from Govardhan Hill? I was seeing Lord Krishna's pastimes, but now I cannot see them. Today I went from here to Govardhan Hill to find out if Krishna was tending his cows there. I saw Lord Krishna climbing Govardhan Hill and playing his flute, surrounded on all sides by grazing cows. Hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, Srimati Radharani and all her gopi friends came there to meet him. They were all very nicely dressed. When Krishna and Srimati Radharani entered a cave together, the other gopis asked me to pick some flowers. Just then, all of you made a tumultuous sound and carried me from there to this place. Why have you brought me here, causing me unnecessary pain? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes, but I could not see them." Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. When all the Vaishnavas saw the Lord's condition, they also wept. At that time, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati arrived. Seeing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became somewhat respectful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to complete external consciousness and immediately offered prayers to them. Then these two elderly gentlemen both embraced the Lord with loving affection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Puri Goswami and Brahmananda Bharati, "Why have the two of you come so far?" Puri Goswami replied, "Just to see your dancing." When he heard this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt somewhat ashamed. Then he went to bathe in the sea with all the Vaishnavas. After bathing in the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with all the devotees. Then they all lunched on the remnants of food offered to Lord Jagannath. Thus I have described the transcendental ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma cannot describe their influence. In his book, Garanga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das Goswami has very vividly described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of running towards the Chataka Parva, the sand dune. Quote, "Near Jagannath Puri is a great sand dune known as Chataka Parvata. Seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, 'Oh, I shall go to the land of Braja to see Govardhan Hill.' Then he began running madly towards it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. This scene awakens in my heart and maddens me." Footnote 5. This verse is Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha 8. Who can properly describe all the uncommon pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are simply his play. I have briefly described them just to give an indication of his transcendental pastimes. Nevertheless, anyone who hears this will certainly attain the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
The Chakrat Parvat Leela obviously took place during the day.
It appears so, because they were going for the noon bath, so it would have been high noon.
Yes.
You know, or just before, you know, so it would have been conclusion. Even if one is very advanced and learned, one cannot understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental madness as separation from Krishna. Paraphrase of text 5. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental feelings of separation from Krishna and his consequent madness are not at all understandable by a person on the platform, material platform. 7. Purport. Many other methods for worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been introduced, but they have all been rejected by stalwart devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 7. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotion of transcendental madness and separation from Krishna is very deep and mysterious. Even though one is advanced and learned, he cannot understand it. Text 5. Right? So these are the things that just a revelation. It's not something you can practice. You can. That's the thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions. It said, now I can explain to you, you know, the taste and all this and that. Or how. Then they say, you know that there's something wrong there. Because mm-hmm. these points, is there simply is the Lord being pleased, these things are revealed. That's all. There isn't some other. Because you're dealing with the Lord's, you know, personal emotions and that of the interaction with his devotees. So one has that qualification, one can appreciate. And if not, then one won't. It's beyond reasoning, because it's about tasting. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm sure that you could put down on a blackboard a, you know, the full equation and, you know, breakdown of all the chemicals and that, and, you know, the active principles and all these things, and what's the proportion, which one acts with which, and what's going on, and of a rasgulla, and then showing then, you know, how we say the mechanics of the, you know, jaw moving, what muscles are there, how much pressure is being put, and everything like this. And you could probably also then tell, you know, that have the tongue and the different ways it moves, and then which part of the tongue tastes which of that, and how much is there, and, you know, how fat it is, and how much of these, how many of those little dots there are tasting the particular sweetness. You could do that whole thing and write the whole thing on the board, big elaborate thing. It will give you no taste. You won't get the taste. It's only you pick up the rasgulla, put it in your mouth, and you taste.
You have to squeeze the sugar syrup first.
That's another. It depends if you're rasi or not.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I remember the boys of Namhata, the Kripa, because they would go and they'd buy this huge thing of hundreds and hundreds of rasgullas, the Calcutta ones. And then they'd all sit, you know, they put the pot down and the boys would come and sit. And the rule was very simple. He who eats the quickest gets the most. So they used to squeeze them just because if you take a handful, you can't put it in your mouth, but if you squeeze them, you can get it in your mouth.
And then they expand it, yeah.
That's another thing they don't talk about, you know, and your head explodes and all that, yes. Yes, so.
This rasgullas, no maida.
Calcutta, they don't put maida in the. In the rasgulla itself. But some shops, or maybe some or all, they tend to put a little bit of maida in the sugar syrup when it's boiling, so it creates more foam.
Oh.
Because the whole point is you bring it to a strong boil. And because sugar will, you know, make the bubbles.
Yes.
You have to cover it with those bubbles because it gets hotter. The rasgullas expand more. That's how you get the sponge. Oh, so the locals don't do it quite like that. That's why they're a little bit more solid.
I always thought they mixed maida with the paneer.
No. Oh. Because then it'll be heavy.
Yeah.
It won't fluff. Right. So it's in the sugar syrup itself. When it's boiling, they'll put a little bit in there. And then that will create more foam, so it gets hotter inside. Because otherwise, you can see them on the top. They want it to boil for a while, because they'll blow up. You mean, like if you have rasgulla this big when it's finished cooking, when it's cooking in this style, it'll be about that big.
Yes.
It'll get huge, you know. And so all the bubbles get in, you know, the syrup goes in. But it's a very light syrup there, right? And then afterwards they'll take that and then put that in something, depending on what effect they want, a heavier syrup or a light. They'll generally put it in a heavier syrup to get the sugar inside. Then they'll put it into a lighter syrup, and that gives it the softness and the sponginess. So, like even like here, these local rasgullas, if you take those and they're a little bit solid, But if you put a little bit of water into the sugar syrup, mix it up nicely, you'll see the rasgulla will become more spongy. It'll lose the sweetness, but it'll become more spongy. So the village, they tend to cook with a heavier syrup and don't put it into a lighter one. So the rasgullas are more heavy. And sometimes in the village, they might put maida into them. That's why they're so solid. Yes. So, but the sponge rasgulla, that was developed in Calcutta. The village rasgulla, that was what was before. That was then. It was developed in Calcutta. You know, different people claim to, but there was one place that they were the one where it started, but they're not the one that made it famous. They developed the recipe, but others made it famous.
The example you give of the rasgulla is the English equivalent is the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yes, exactly.
So you can't just imagine symptoms, you can't imagine tasting.
No. That's why when they speculate and they talk about this and that and going to all that, that's why it's a waste of time. You know, because what is the taste? That's what I was saying, is that there means what's being discussed is the scenario.
Yeah.
Not the taste.
Yes.
But because they're discussing the scenario, that itself means because it's wonderful, it's Krishna. So they're taking that is the taste. That's one aspect of the taste. But then there's the moods and all that and the activities. Then there's the affection. So the real intensity of taste is in the affection, in the rati between the asha and the visha. So this other stuff that's being talked, this is sambandha gyan. You know, it may be a bhavideya or it might be a prayojana, but that's all the more you can discuss. You can't discuss more than that. You know, it's like at one time when some devotees asked, you know, Prabhupada, if he could go to the Radhika, and Prabhupada, you know, what will you do there? He says, I'll preach. And he said, no, radicals for tasting.
That's what the Devi Shakti.
Hmm?
Devi Shakti told the story. She gave class in Vrindavan for the appearance of Radhakund, which is
Bahulastri.
So she said, I'm going to tell you. Do you want another story? I'm going to tell you the story. So she tells, she went into every detail of how Radhakund is structured. And the egg copies and their coons and the colors and everything. And then she tells her own story, how she went to see Prabhupada in Bombay when he told her to go and bless the books in the libraries. And it was Bahulastami that day in Bombay. So she thought she would please Prabhupada by bringing some Radhakund water she put on Prabhupada's table to sprinkle on his head. So he asked, what is this? And she said, this is Radhakund water. And then she says, Prabhupada, all the temples from Vrindavan are in Radhakund. He said, yes. Can we have also a Krishna Bharam temple there? And what will you do? She said, I'll preach. He said, no, it's for taste. It's for relishing.
Relishing, okay.
And then he went back on his word and he said, that's okay, you can do. And she explained it, and right at the end of the class, she comes down there. She said, when Prabhupada gave me permission, from that moment I decided I do not belong to Radhakund. I need to preach. She really put the ice on the whole thing, you know. And that's why I'm here. I distribute books in Vrindavan. I don't go to Radhakund. She went on for 45 minutes, pastime after pastime after pastime, and at the end she goes, down books. She wanted mercy, down books.
Chapter 15, Transcendental Madness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was the last chapter? Feelings of separation. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following is the summary of the 15th chapter. After seeing the Upala Bhoga ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once more began to feel ecstatic emotions. When he saw the garden on the beach by the sea, he again thought that he was in Vrindavan, And when he began to think of Krishna engaging in his different pastimes, transcendental emotions excited him again. On the night of the Rasa dance, the gopis, bereaved by Krishna's absence, searched for Krishna from one forest to another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted the same transcendental thoughts as those of the gopis and was filled with ecstatic emotion. Sri Damodar Goswami recited a verse from the Gita Govinda, just suitable to the Lord's emotions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited the ecstatic transformations known as Bhavodaya, Bhava Santi, Bhava Shabhalya, and so on. The Lord experienced all eight kinds of ecstatic transformations, and he relished them very much. Shloka Anusharanam, so many verses. Can never be just one thing, right? Why does a sneeze turn into a cough?
Sometimes it comes together.
Weird. You mean that you sneeze and cough at the same time?
At the same time.
Hey, this is something that he does.
Verses 1 to 27. Lord Chaitanya's transcendental senses are carried away by Sri Krishna's attributes. Verses 28 to 99. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistakes a flower garden for Vrindavan. Verses 1 to 27. Lord Chaitanya's transcendental senses are carried away by Sri Krishna's attributes. 315, 1 through 8. The ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna is very difficult to understand, even for such demigods as Lord Brahma. Right? Because Brahma, by his position, it doesn't specifically necessarily mean that the devotee Brahma, you know, as one of the Mahajans, would have trouble. But the point is that Brahma, the position, just because he's the most pious living entity in the universe, still he can't understand based on that. Does that make sense? Shiva, by his position, won't understand either. Right? So it's because of devotion that that can be understood. Because we saw Brahma as Brahma, being, you know, technically the biggest mystic yogi in the universe, right? Because yogis go hang out on Brahmaloka. Right? Karmis go to Indra's place. Right? So he, manifesting his qualities of mystic yoga, he, you know, wants to see what's going to be the fun of Krishna. Right? But it's only afterwards, then, when he sees and that surrenders to Krishna and then devotion, then all these things go very nicely.
In the Brahma Samhita address, you know, Prabhupada explained how he said not everything was revealed to him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so it just means that that time, in that beginning, when he spoke that right in the beginning,
yeah.
So it just means he had an idea of his position, but he didn't know the details.
Right.
Yeah. But the point is even from that, then that clarity of what he saw and then speaking the Brahma Samhita. Because that, we're getting all kinds of nice understandings and you know, the real truths and all that. But then you can say, when you go beyond, that's the tasting of those positions. You know what I'm saying? Because so many of them are establishing Krishna's position and his authority and everything like that. But it's basically the pastimes of him interacting with the devotees. That's where the taste is. You know, others, there's some taste. There's some taste in his transcendental effulgence. There's some taste in his, you know, his lordship over the cosmos, but the actual is in his interaction with his devotees based on affection. So, by enacting his pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu submerged himself in that ocean, and his heart was absorbed in that love. Thus, he exhibited in various ways the exalted position of transcendental love for Krishna. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to Lord Nityananda, His body is always filled with transcendental bliss. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya, who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Vasa Thakur. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot himself throughout the entire day and night, being merged in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. The Lord would maintain himself in three states of consciousness. Sometimes he merged totally in ecstatic emotion. Sometimes there is in partial external consciousness. And sometimes there is in full external consciousness. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always merged in ecstatic emotion. But just as a potter's wheel turns without the potter touching it, the Lord's bodily activities, like bathing, going to the temple to see Lord Jagannath, and taking lunch, went on automatically. One day, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at Lord Jagannath in the temple, Lord Jagannath appeared to be personally Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized Lord Jagannath to be Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya's five senses immediately became absorbed in attraction for the five attributes of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna's beauty attracted the eyes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's singing and the vibration of his flute attracted the Lord's ears. The transcendental fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet attracted his nostrils. Krishna's transcendental sweetness attracted his tongue. And Krishna's bodily touch attracted the Lord's sensation of touch. Thus, each of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's five senses was attracted by one of the five attributes of Lord Krishna. 3:15-9:27. Just as in a tug of war, the single mind of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracted in five directions by the five transcendental attributes of Lord Krishna. Thus, the Lord became unconscious. Just then, the Upala Bhoga ceremony of Lord Jagannath concluded, and the devotees who had accompanied Lord Chaitanya to the temple took him back home. That night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attended by Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. Keeping his hand around their necks, the Lord began to lament. When Srimati Radharani was very much agitated due to feeling great separation from Krishna, she spoke a verse to Vishakha, explaining the cause of her great anxiety and restlessness. Reciting that verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his burning emotions. Then, with great lamentation, he explained the verse to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Though the hearts of the gopis are like high-standing hills, they are inundated by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Krishna's beauty. His sweet voice enters their ears and gives them transcendental bliss. The touch of his body is cooler than millions and millions of moons together, and the nectar of his bodily fragrance overfloods the entire world. Oh, my dear friend, that Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj and whose lips are exactly like nectar, is attracting my five senses by force." Footnote 6. This verse is found in the Govinda Lilamrita 8.3 by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj. Lord Sri Krishna's beauty and the sound of his words and the vibration of his flute, his touch, his fragrance, and the taste of his lips are full of an indescribable sweetness. When all these features attracted my five senses at once, my senses all ride together on a single horse of my mind, but one to go in five different directions. Oh, my dear friend, please hear the cause of my misery. My five senses are actually extravagant rogues. They know very well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they still want to plunder Krishna's property. My mind is just like a single... So, this is that point, is that they can know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not a problem. Like when you see when they get the Kurukshetra, they're talking. They know everybody else is talking like that. They have no problem. But it still doesn't mean they don't want to personally interact with him. It's like, yeah, even if he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, it doesn't change the rati they have for serving him. Right? Well, you see with the Dwarkavasis, that knowing that can adjust how they're going to deal. until Yoga Maya covers them more again, and they'll act within their particular rasa.
So, from that point on, everything we read is to keep in mind Krishna Kucha.
There's that aspect, but it can also be like in Vrindavan, like you say, he's seeing these things that can't be. You're going to have that, yes. I mean, you can say because they are in Purushottam Kshetra,
yes.
So it's going to have that flavor. Because the point means it's going to be in separation. So he's come to taste that aspect because it's so great, but at the same time, it's in that. Then when you're thinking about Krishna and his pastimes like that, then that aspect of being with the Lord is there. But at the same time, it's because one's not physically with, there is the feeling of separation. So that's the point, is the happiness from separation, the happiness from Sambhog is the same in that you're both with Krishna. But it gives a slightly different flavor because of the physical difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So there's the oneness, but there's the difference.
Yes.
You know. So there's always going to be that feature. You know, because otherwise sometimes it's all, well, why that, why make themselves? No, it has the greater, but at the same time it's different. It's because if that's greater, why not just do that? Because you want the Vipra Lamba is because you want to be with Krishna and you're not. But that intensity creates more. So that's why Lord Chaitanya before with that, the elderly lady from Orissa, that her eagerness, that's an important aspect. But not in their eagerness, she was aware. She was just so eager she was unaware. You know, as soon as she became aware, then she immediately came, offered obeisances and things like that. My mind is just like a single horse being ridden by the five senses of perception, headed by sight. Like it's headed by sight because sight sees beauty, so beauty is the opulence from, you know, the main opulence. It controls all the other opulences. Each of my senses wants to ride that horse, and thus they pull my mind in five directions simultaneously. In what direction will it go? They all pull at one time. Certainly the horse will lose its life. How can I tolerate this atrocity? My dear friend, if you say, just try to control your senses, what shall I say? I cannot become angry at my senses. Is it their fault? Krishna's beauty, sound, touch, fragrance, and taste are by nature extremely attractive. These five features are attracting my senses, and each wants to drag my mind in a different direction. In this way, the life of my mind is in great danger, just like a horse ridden in five directions at once. Thus, I am also in danger of dying. I say, so that's why this stage, this level, can only be accessed with the spiritual body. Mere material body can't deal with this. You know, the mind, by nature, reduces. Bhaktivinoda Kaur is describing the psychology, how it works. The mind, so much information comes in, the mind will reduce it down to one thing, and then it'll deal with that one thing. It may then go switch to another one, but it'll only deal with one sense at a time. It can't deal with more. You may have so many things going on, but it'll only focus on one. It's just the way it works. So this here we can't deal with more. But here then, it seems that all these things at once are all attracted at once and all that. So only the spiritual body can function with that.
And on top of that, they're all put in a different direction.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Only the spiritual position can deal with that.
Yes.
The material can't. That's why prema, you can't come to prema in this body. You have to, that can only be done in the spiritual form. Does that make sense? So the nitya siddhas can come here and deep because they have the spiritual form.
Yes.
Yeah. But until one has brought, come to that platform, we're identifying dealing from here. You know, so only then when that is at the end.
Because at the end of Vilakus Evangeli, I mean the physical condition of Raghunandas is like it's not human.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it's not possible for human being to
Yeah. Well, you had that pastime where when he got sick, devotees were worried, so they brought the Kaviraj and he took his pulse and said he's overeaten sweet rice. And they say, are we talking about the same guy here? Who brought this doctor? Because everyone knows he doesn't even eat, you know. And then he explained that he was rendering service and he got, you know, after serving Radha and Krishna, they all sit and eat sweet rice and he ate too much. You know, that's in a spiritual body, but then it manifests in the material body. So, yeah, so they're on a different platform. So that's why all these things we don't imitate and all that. You just stick to what you can do. As you do what you can do, is better. You know? If somebody says, you know, like the little kid sits down with their crayon, they grab it like this, and, you know, do whatever they do. You know, that will end up on the refrigerator, right? But if you tell him, no, you know, he's going to do, you know, Rembrandt or something like that, it's like, no, it's not. It's not going to happen. You just stick to the level you're at, and it works. You know, because Krishna then looks at the Sara Grahi Janardana, right? So that he takes that essence from your wherever you are, what is the moon, what you're trying to do. You know, it's just like that, I think it was Sarasvati, the little girl. She was, you know, I don't know how old, like 2 or something. And she was, she had a little, you know, Jagannath tied a string around his waist and was dragging him across the floor. Yeah. Devotees are freaking out. Prabhupada said, no, it's Ratha Yatra. In her mind, there's a big Rath and everything's going on and it's all happening. You know. So like that. The consciousness of each woman within the three worlds is certainly like a high hill, but the sweetness of Krishna's beauty is like an ocean. Even a drop of water from that ocean can flood the entire world and submerge all the high hills of consciousness. The sweetness of Krishna's joking words plays indescribable havoc with the hearts of all women. Right, so, like you have, if the ocean comes in and all that, it doesn't get to the high hills. You know, it comes in and floods the lowlands and all that. But it's saying here, even one drop from this ocean can flood the whole world. So all these hills, they'll just be inundated, even though they're so, you know, elevated. The sweetness of the sweetness of Krishna's joking words plays indescribable havoc with the hearts of all women. His words bind a woman's ear to the qualities of their sweetness. Thus there is a tug of war and the life of the ear departs. Krishna's transcendental body is so cool that it cannot be compared even to sandalwood pulp or to millions upon millions of moons. It expertly attracts the breasts of all women, which resemble high hills. Indeed, the transcendental body of Krishna attracts the minds of all women within the three worlds. The fragrance of Krishna's body is more maddening than the aroma of musk, and it surpasses the fragrance of the bluish lotus flower. It enters the nostrils of all the women of the world, and making a nest there, thus attracts them. Krishna's lips are so sweet when combined with the camphor of his gentle smile that they attract the minds of all women, forcing them to give up all other attractions. If the sweetness of Krishna's smile is unobtainable, great mental difficulties and lamentation result. That sweetness is the only wealth of the gopis of Vrindavan. After speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught hold of the necks of Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. The Lord said, "My dear friends, please listen to me. What shall I do? Where shall I go? Where can I go to get Krishna? Please, both of you, tell me how I can find him." Thus absorbed in transcendental pain, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented day after day in the company of Sup Damodar, Goswami, and Ramananda Rai. To enhance the ecstatic mood of the Lord, Sup Damodar would sing appropriate songs, and Ramananda Rai would recite suitable verses. In this way, they were able to pacify him. The Lord especially liked to hear Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karinamrita. The poetry of Vidyapati and Sri Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great pleasure in his heart when his associates chanted verses and sang songs from these books. Verses 28-99. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistakes a flower garden for Vrindavan. 315-28-75. One day, while going to the beach by the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly saw a flower garden. Lord Chaitanya mistook that garden for Vrindavan and very quickly entered it. Absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna, he wandered throughout the garden, searching for him. After Krishna disappeared with the Radharani during the Rasa dance, the gopis wandered in the forest looking for him. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered in that garden by the sea, absorbed in the ecstatic mood of the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered here and there. He began to inquire after Krishna by quoting verses to all the trees and creepers. The gopis said, "O Chuta tree, Priyala tree, Panasha, Asana, and Kovidara, O Jambu tree, O Arka tree, O Bale, Bakula, and Mango, O Kadamba tree, O Nipa tree, and all other trees living on the bank of the Jamuna, for the welfare of others, please let us know where Krishna has gone. We have lost our minds and are almost dead." Footnote 7, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39. O all auspicious Tulsi plant, you are very dear to Govinda's lotus feet, and he is very dear to you. Have you seen Krishna walking here wearing a garland of your leaves, surrounded by a swarm of bumblebees? O plants of Malika flowers, Jati and Yutika flowers, have you seen Krishna passing this way, touching you with his hand to give you pleasure? Footnote 8, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30, 7-8. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "O mango tree, O jackfruit tree, O piala, jambu, and kovidara trees, you are all inhabitants of a holy place. Therefore, kindly act for the welfare of others. Have you seen Krishna coming this way? Kindly tell us which way he has gone and save our lives." When the trees did not reply, the gopis guessed, "Since all of these trees belong to the male class, all of them must be friends of Krishna. Why should the trees tell us where Krishna has gone?" Wow. "Let us rather inquire from the creepers. They are female and are therefore like friends to us. They will certainly tell us where Krishna has gone, since they have seen him personally." Guessing in this way, the gopis inquired from the plants and creepers headed by Tulasi. "O Tulasi, O Malati, O Yuti, Madhavi, and Malika, Krishna is very dear to you, therefore he must have come near you. You're all just like dear friends to us. Kindly tell us which way Krishna has gone and save our lives." When they still received no reply, the gopis thought, "These plants are all Krishna's maidservants, and out of fear they will not speak to us." The gopis that so he also sees that they find no fault. You know, that's the whole point. They find no fault. And you even see when they're making arguments with Krishna, they're not. It means it's actually they're not finding a fault. It's just something to express through. Because you always see the yogis coming around, and it lacks that point. The gopis then came upon a group of she deer. Smelling the aroma of Krishna's body and seeing the faces of the deer, the gopis inquired from them to ascertain if Krishna was nearby. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "O wife of the deer, Lord Krishna has been embracing his beloved, and thus the kumkum powder on her raised breast has covered his garland with kunda flowers. The fragrance of this garland is flowing here. My dear friend, have you seen Krishna passing this way with his dearmost companion, increasing the pleasure of the eyes of all of you? Footnote 9. Verses quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-11. O dear Doe, Sri Krishna is always very pleased to give you pleasure. Kindly inform us whether he passed this way in the company of Srimati Radharani. We think they must certainly have come this way. We are not outsiders. Being very dear friends of Srimati Radharani, we can perceive the bodily fragrance of Krishna from a distance. Krishna has been embracing Srimati Radharani, and the kumkum powder on her breast has mixed with a garland of kunda flowers decorating his body. The fragrance of the garland has scented the entire atmosphere. Lord Krishna has left this place, and therefore the deer are feeling separation. They do not hear our words, therefore how can they reply? The gopis then came upon many trees so laden with fruits and flowers that the branches were bent down to the ground. The gopis thought that because all the trees must have seen Krishna pass by, they were offering respectful obeisances to him. To be certain, the gopis inquired from the trees. Lord Chaitanya continued, O trees, kindly tell us whether Balarama's younger brother Krishna welcomed your obeisances with loving glances as he passed this way, resting one hand on the shoulder of Srimati Radharani, holding a lotus flower in the other, and being followed by a swarm of bumblebees maddened by the fragrance of tulsi flowers. Footnote 10. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-12. To stop the bumblebees from landing on the face of his beloved, he whisked them away with a lotus flower in his hand, and thus his mind was slightly diverted. Did he or did he not pay attention while you offered him obeisances? Kindly give evidence supporting your words. Separation from Krishna has made these servants very unhappy. Having lost consciousness, how can they answer us? Right, so they'll ask and then they'll find some reason why they can't answer. Like that. So they're not finding fault.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.